It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now with Chris Stevenson, here's AJ Jakubek.
It all makes sense now. AJ Jakubek, Chris Stevenson, and yes, Matt Conosvita. He's probably going to be self-serving today on the music.
A little bit.
This is The Drive on TSN 1200. It's the Sens game day. They're taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. 67's in action tonight on our brother station 580 CFRA. They're hosting the London Knights. We've got a great sports weekend. We got football on Sunday. Two awesome championship matchups. We'll see if it lives up to the hype, but certainly with Philadelphia and San Francisco, and Cincinnati and Kansas City, the matchups look fantastic. We'll see if the games themselves deliver. And a lot to hit on today. Mike Zeisberger is going to join us at 2:25. Tee up Sens and Leafs. Vanessa Sanchez at 3:25. Talking all things sports. Some college football, as per usual, but want to hit on her New York Jets. Want to hit on the CFL draft. Just in terms of the Brown brothers. And I mean, they're probably not going to go high in the CFL draft because they're going to go in the NFL draft. She wants to hit on Rory v. Patrick Reed, which we've done a couple of times already. So lots to hit on there. And you can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates do apply. Hell, I'm even going to have some soccer for you. Copa America, baby. Got that to look forward to. I mean, we still have to qualify, but that was made official today. So next big tournament for the Canadian men. Got the Women's World Cup in 2023, but qualification for Copa America can play against the likes of Argentina and Brazil and all the great South American countries. The United States is going to host, so CPL schedule out as well. But a lot of focus on Sens Leafs here today as we welcome the one and only Chris Stevenson to the program. CJ, how are you?
Hello. I'm great. I feel like Maddie and I almost don't even need to be here. Maddie, you could have checked out early and started your vacation.
Should
early.
I call Cammer and get him in?
AJ's put together a tremendous roster here. It's going to be a fast-paced show. I feel like if I'm going to be doing any talking today, it's not going to be long talking. It's going to have to be get in, make your point, get out. Now, with all the guests and the topics we've got to cover today, and it's a 3-hour cruise because we got the pregame show at 5.
Don't be thinking you're mailing it in. Like, I'm not seeing any guests in the 4 o'clock hour. Matt Scooby, unfortunately, feeling ill today, so he will not be on CTV News. And
I will have checked out long before 4 o'clock, my friend. You're going to be pretty much on your own at 4.
You know I can get it out of you. How are you guys?
Good. A great night of hockey viewing last night.
How was so? I went to comedy, and I'll mention a little bit in a moment. But how was that Boston-Tampa Bay game? Because we were talking about this yesterday. I mean, you don't really get a lot of marquee national type games, right? That's the problem with an 82-game schedule. But some nights it's like, oh, that's one, regardless of who you cheer for, you look at that and it's like, all right, here's Boston up against a team that they might have to go through in round two. And a team on a record pace versus a team that already set regular season records and didn't win that year, but been to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals. So the road to the Stanley Cup, Boston, that's great. Had a fantastic year. We all know the road to the Stanley Cup, and this includes the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. It goes through Tampa when it goes through the East because they've been there 3 times in a row. How was that Lightning Bruins game last night?
It lived up to the hype, and it Tampa basically ran the Bruins show last night. I thought it was back and forth. The Bruins kept coming back. But it was everything that you might have expected. And it's not often that you can say that a game, you know, with the potential that that one would have, as you said, with, you know, the number one team in the league, they had five regulation losses going into that game last night at the end of January. The Boston Bruins were handed their sixth last night. So, yeah, it measured up, and I was going back and forth between that game and I still keep tabs on what's happening with the Montreal Canadiens and the fact that they're going to be having a back-to-back with the Senators coming up. I wanted to see what was going on with the Canadiens. So I watched the Detroit-Montreal game, and that was tremendously entertaining. A lot of energy, a lot of really nice plays made. Wow. Don't watch him a lot. Seider is a hell of a defenseman.
Yeah.
He is a hell of a defenseman. I look at, we talk about the teams and you know, specifically right now, Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, right, as the rebuilding teams in the East and moving up. Well, what's going to be a key for all of them? Those young D that they have. And Buffalo's ahead. Owen Power has, like, reached another level right now in his game. Dahlin now is looking like a legit first overall pick. He's a stud. So you got those two guys on the Buffalo blue line, Seider in Detroit and Jake Sanderson here in Ottawa. There is going to be some really, really good defenseman play in this division for the next decade. Those guys are all studs.
And I think for Ottawa, it's about either Thomas Chabot getting back to the level, right, that we're used to seeing him play at, because I think he's had a down year.
Yeah.
And if he can play his best hockey consistently, then you can say, okay, Dahlin, Power, Chabot, Sanderson, but you need Chabot to get back to that level, right? And Detroit, I think they're hoping Edvinson is going to be a guy that can reach that level as well, but I know he's had some ups and downs this year in the American Hockey League and might need another year down there. So, right now, advantage Buffalo, right?
Yeah, they got two.
And that's probably why they're ahead of the other two in the standings.
Two guys that look like, so far, you look at the way, you know, Dahlin's, you know, probably because of the way the team has been around him, has taken a little while to get really, really good traction. But now Dahlin, they're going to have two legit number ones in Buffalo. So it's going to be fun to watch for the next few years, watching those teams. Because I think they're gonna rise through the, not that Boston's going anywhere. We want to write Boston off every year. You keep feeling like Boston, Tampa. We've seen Florida have a fall off this year, but those teams that we kind of look at as the powers in this division, waiting for them to fall, and these other young teams to rise up. But you look at the blue lines there, and that's going to be the key.
Matt Conosfita, how are you? Last day before you go to New Orleans?
Oh, doing terrific. I ended the show yesterday by saying my plans for the night. Lots of shoveling. Went up to my sister's place. Her neighbor, Steve, had used his snowblower and cleared the rest of her driveway. So that was
How good is that?
Huge, huge shout out to Steve. Some beers are coming your way when I return from my trip. And had a pretty low-key evening. Didn't watch much sports. I've been making up for lost time. I started playing the video game The Last of Us after the show started on HBO. So I've been playing that to try and keep ahead of the episodes of the television series, which is fantastic.
I was just going to ask, is that something worth looking at?
Oh, man.
I've never played the video game, but thumbs up?
Oh, two thumbs up. It's two episodes in on Sunday nights, and phenomenal. It's sort of like everything I hoped The Walking Dead would be. Two episodes in, as far as like post-apocalyptic sort of zombie shows. It's maybe the best I've ever seen. I don't know that you can do much better than they've done so far. The video game is super stressful, super entertaining. So that's what I had on the go last night. Not nearly as much shoveling as I expected, which was nice. And yeah, fired up for the next hour and 48 minutes, or 2 hours and 48 minutes, then some Sens Leafs, and I'm off to New Orleans. Can't wait.
What do you got planned for New Orleans?
Oh, well, nothing all that much concrete planned. The one thing that we already have tickets for is we're going to see the Hot 8 Brass Band the night we get in, Sunday night, at Howlin' Wolf. They play every Sunday. They've got a residency there, but they're an awesome local band. They've won Grammys because when I bought the tickets, it said, like, Grammy Award-winning Hot 8 Brass Band. But I first discovered them watching the movie Chef with Jon Favreau.
Hmm.
And they have a cover of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing that the guys are listening to when they're driving to New Orleans in their food truck. And that's how I first discovered the band, but they show up. I don't know how much of their music is featured in the show Tremé, but there are members of the band who are in various scenes, and I've just really gotten in. They're the perfect encapsulation for me of the last time I was in New Orleans, some of the street music you hear, the buskers playing like around the French Quarter, Jackson Square, that sort of thing. And that's the style of music. So I'm really pumped to see them. Otherwise, just I got a couple of food destinations I definitely want to hit up. I want to have another barbecue shrimp po' boy at Liuza's by the track. I need to have some fried chicken at Willie Mae's Scotch House. Definitely going to do some gumbo. Maybe some oyster po' boys. I'm not a big olive guy, but I know Chelsea really wants a muffaletta. And yeah, just some music. Check out Frenchman Street. Maybe Fritzels on Bourbon. Lots of music, lots of food. Maybe an adult beverage here and there. And just really
Any
looking
hurricanes?
Forward to a week away.
You gotta have a hurricane.
One in Rome, you do as the Romans do. One in New Orleans, you have a hurricane. Of course.
Love a good hurricane. All right. Well, before we get to Sens and Leafs, and Mike Zeisberger is going to join us in 11 minutes. Went to comedy last night. Love amateur night. Whether it's at Absolute, I went to Yuck Yucks on the West End last night. First time ever there. Man, there must have been like 12 acts. Just like bang, 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 bang. And it's amazing, right? Like I give so much credit to anyone that goes up there and does that in front of a crowd. Like I could not even fathom doing that.
Yep.
Because like if your jokes are bombing, right? it's a struggle to get her back going. That happened with a couple of them last night. I'm one of those guys. I like to laugh.
That's so like, cringy, eh, though? It's so cringy when somebody's bombing.
I try and at least smile. Like, if they're looking at me, I'm trying to, like, give some energy back.
Yep.
Right? Like, you know what? I'm not sitting here with, like, a, I don't know, like, grumpy face. I'm trying to smile back. I'm trying to encourage them. There's some good local acts. And have some promise. You got if you've got some stage presence and you've got good delivery, and those are not easy things to master, I can imagine, you can probably make anything, just about anything work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couple of them bombed. For the most part, you saw some promise, though. So good on you all. And I love, it's one of my favorite things to do is go, like last night was Yuck Yucks, but I've always kind of been an Absolute guy, going middle of the week and you got your host, you got your headliner, and they're always fantastic. And then you just kind of see what you're going to get and you don't know what you're going to get. And sometimes you start to see, like, if you go often enough and you see them, you know, maybe a handful of times, you start to see some progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's like, geez, this guy's not progressing. He's plateauing. But it was a good night all the way around. So enjoy getting back out there. It's probably my second time since the pandemic that I've been back to comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Never a bad night. Always good for a few laughs, one way or the other, right?
Yeah. Good to support the local talent.
So Sens Leafs, got a couple of minutes before we welcome Mike Zeisberger to the program. I'm going to take this. We'll take it from the Sens angle a little bit later, but I want to take it from the Leafs angle here tonight. No Auston Matthews. But in light of what you were talking about, I had to kind of add on to, you know, you talking about Boston and Tampa and all the Lightning school the Bruins last night, right?
Yeah.
And basically, I was saying the East goes through Tampa Bay. Boston's really good, having an incredible season, but everything in the East still goes through Tampa Bay. How difficult is that, you think, for a Toronto Maple Leafs team that absolutely knows that they are not going to be judged on tonight, on tomorrow, on a week from now, on 3 weeks from now? They're trying to play their best hockey, but they know as a group, they're only going to be judged on what they do in the playoffs. And it's almost like there might be other formats, right? Where you just keep playing, keep winning because you want to give yourself the best possible matchup. But we pretty much know it's going to be Toronto and Tampa Bay in round one. No one's catching the Bruins. And you can't imagine a Buffalo or Florida, if they make the playoffs, they're going to be as a wild card. So that 2-3 matchup, basically set in stone. The only thing we don't know is who's going to have home ice. And they're going to be judged solely, the Toronto Maple Leafs, based on how they do in the playoffs, and in particular in round one against Tampa Bay. How difficult is that, you know, when you've got the grind of an 82-game schedule, to look at that?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that the Leafs aren't focusing on that, and I haven't had any recent conversations anyway with anybody in the organization. But I think once again, when all is said and done at the end of the year, and we kind of pick through the evidence, I'm going to say that's what we focus on the outside. I don't think the Leafs are thinking about that at all. I had a conversation with somebody close to the Leafs early this year, and their goal was figuring out a way to be better defensively. That was the goal for this season. That's what they were working on every game. That's what they figured was their weakness, that when they got to the playoffs, yeah, we saw the Leafs score tons of goals over the last few years, but that was their Achilles come postseason, was they couldn't shut it down. So they've changed their focus this year. There's no question why. I watch a lot of the Leafs games. They are playing a much better defensive game, and I'm looking at the stats now. And again, to your point, it's not going to matter until you go through that crucible of the playoffs and you see what they've done. Toronto Maple Leafs are third in the league in team defense this year. So, yeah, that's a pretty good number. 2.61 goals against average for the Leafs. Can they do it in the postseason? We'll see.
They do look like a team that's capable of going deep into the playoffs based on just their improvements in certain parts of their game, like team defense, as you mentioned. But that's the X's and O's and the physical part of hockey. To me, it's the mental and the emotional part, right?
See, but after what they've been through for the last few years and all that outside noise, I think this is how they've chosen to counteract that.
Yeah.
They're not worrying about that right now. They've given themselves something else to focus on internally. We're still going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, well, so big deal. You're third in the league in team defense. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can do it when it counts.
Well, even the fans, as we head to break, Joe the Leafs fan says, thought I've already broken this down for you. It's like a gigantic 82-game waste of time. At least tonight, a classic Sens beatdown will keep me slightly interested.
See, and that's why...
All right, Joe.
And that's why I say... From our standpoint, yeah, we're all just like, come on, let's get the regular season over and see what the Leafs can do in the playoffs. They're not thinking that way.
Yeah.
They're thinking about how do we best prepare ourselves this time so that we're not that story again come this postseason. And I see progress in terms of addressing what, to me, was the number one issue that they had, and that was keeping the puck out of their net. Whether they can do it when it counts against really good teams, we'll see.
Mike Zeisberger on the other side. We'll talk Sens Leafs and certainly about those issues when we come back as we continue with The Drive on this Sens game day here on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to The Drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
The Drive on TSN 1200. AJ Jakubek, Chris Stevenson, Matt Konosvita. Let's get to our first guest on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Oh, he's very familiar to these parts. From NHL.com, Mike Zeisberger. Zeis, how you doing today?
Doing great. Carlton alumnus, of course.
Yeah.
Toronto native, so all ready for the Zeis Bowl, which goes at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, it's Sens Leafs, and you know what? I think two teams that are in different spots as we've... It's been a long time, right? I mean, when you think about it, it's been a long time since both of these teams have been really good at the same time, and you kind of miss that a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I was fortunate enough to cover those battles of Ontario and just the emotions that were, you know, that went hand in hand with all those series. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you dissect it and Senators fans don't want to hear about this, I mean, obviously the Leafs won those four series. But if you dissect those, I mean, you know, and at least three of those, it could have gone either way. And I just thought it was really cool, the passion, at times venom that the fan base has had. And I got to say, guys, you know, as an outsider looking in, I mean, I was really encouraged that may, you know, that we were going to slowly get to that again with the move, some of the moves that the Senators made in the off season. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, you guys have talked about this a lot, but I'm just, as I said, from looking from the outside, I find it a little puzzling that the Senators are not a little higher in the standings and maybe are not trending maybe the way that a team like the Buffalo Sabres are right now, a team that's kind of been out of the playoffs for a while but has a good young core of talent, which I also think that Ottawa has.
Yeah, we've been talking about it and breaking it down. Zeis, I think most of it for Ottawa, the Coles Notes version anyway, is basically they're last in the league in 5-on-5 play. So that's going to be something to watch for tonight. Focus on the Leafs. I was just making the point, you know, AJ said that the narrative around the Leafs is going to continue to be do whatever you want in the regular season, prove it in the playoffs. And I said it seems like we can have all that noise on the outside, but it really looks like the Leafs internally have put the focus on being a better defensive team and seeing that as the answer to increasing their chances of winning that elusive first playoff series in a long time since they spent the last Battle of Ontario, really. They're third right now in goals against per game played in the league. Is that going to be the key for them going into the playoffs this year and that being the focus for the rest of this regular season?
Well, I think it's threefold, Chris, and you know what? I think that, you know, just to remind people, the last playoff series that the Toronto Maple Leafs have won or won was back in 2004 when I think that my friend Chris and I both had hair on top of our heads back then. That's how long it's been. And
I'm
you
not
know
sure
what?
If
that's
I even had hair then, Zeis.
That's not too far off from the truth, my friend, and you know that. But but I think it's threefold, Chris. Number one, I think you make a great point about defense. And when you think that, you know, Morgan Rielly, who, you know, pretty much was their bona fide number one defenseman coming in, he missed a lot of time. There was a time where they didn't have Rielly in the lineup. They didn't have TJ Brody in the lineup. They didn't have Jake Muzzin in the lineup, which going into the season, arguably were their top three defensemen. And so, you know, maybe they, part of it was that they had to learn how to play better because they didn't have a defensively because they didn't have a choice because their big guys weren't in the lineup, but they did a much better job. You know, number two is goaltending. It has been a little bit up and down. Matt Murray went on a hot streak. He'll get the start tonight, but then he got pulled on January 17th, and that's the last time he's played. Ilya Samsonov has been great. He has not lost at home yet this season, which means he's never lost at Scotiabank Arena as a Maple Leaf. I think he's 14-0-1. But I think there's another, I think there's a different mindset, too, that how close they came last year against Tampa. And we can talk about their shortcomings all we want. But that was a series where they played the defending Stanley Cup champions toe-to-toe. Now, once again, they get to Game 7, and Nick Paul outscored the entire Maple Leafs team. Mm. And that's where, in this city, you know, they've seen, and I'm going to make a dated reference, but, those of us that remember the Charlie Brown comics, how many times did Charlie Brown get ready to kick a field goal and then Lucy keeps pulling the ball away? And then every time after that, it's like, no, Charlie Brown, don't worry about it. I won't pull it away. And then she does every single time. And I think that is the question mark among the fans here. Is that, are you going to fool us again once the playoffs come around? So you're absolutely right. I don't think anybody in terms of, Leafs fandom, so to speak, is going to be convinced until they actually see this team win a series in April.
How difficult is that just to be judged like that? And especially when they almost know right now who their first round playoff opponent's going to be, and it's going to be Tampa Bay, and it's going to be very difficult once again.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, the teams that have success know that they're going to have to go up against strong opponents. So, you know, I remember last year hearing that, well, this playoff, the way the playoffs are set up, it's not fair. They have to play the defending Stanley Cup champions at the time, the Lightning. Well, yeah, but the year before, they were up 3-1 against the Montreal Canadiens, which, you know, I believe in terms of raw talent, were not nowhere near as skilled as the Maple Leafs. They lost the last three games and they were eliminated. The year before, in the bubble, they were eliminated by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, if you go back and look at the rosters of both those teams, it shouldn't even have been a question mark that the Leafs won that series, but they didn't. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. They have to play Tampa. But you know what? It's worked both ways, and they haven't been able to win either way. So, you know what? I mean, it's just you play who you're going to play. And like I said, if you are the team that you think you are or you can be and you need to get over this hurdle, well, you know what? I mean, then you got to beat Tampa. Simple as that. I don't think there's any excuses.
We're going to see Matt Murray tonight. Is that the indication?
Yes, he'll be back. And like I said, the first time since he got the hook on January 17th. Before that, he was on a pretty good run. But his last couple of outings were a little bit rocky. And I think this is still a goaltending situation in flux, Chris, where you'll have to kind of see whichever guy is hot. And right now, Samsonov is on a big-time roll. Like I said, he's yet to lose in regulation at Scotiabank Arena, and we'll see if the Senators can end that streak tonight.
Mike Zeisberger is our guest, talking Sens Leafs from Toronto, NHL.com. Zeis, when you look at this Toronto team, obviously Austin Matthews, the best player. I mean, he won the Hart Trophy last year for a reason. Out at least 3 weeks. How concerning is that for Toronto, given we don't know how long this injury is going to be?
Well, it's January. So, you know, they've accrued enough points that they can at least tread water while he's out of the lineup. And let's face it, I mean, this is a skilled team. when you look, I did the math. So 3 weeks from now, he would miss six games. Three of those are against the Chicago Blackhawks and two against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So you should be able to win those games. Five of the six games are going to be at home. And when you have the depth of a Marner, a Tavares, a Nylander who's having a career year, we'll see how serious the injury is. Whenever they say a minimum of 3 weeks, you kind of have to sit back and say, okay, is it going to be three? Is it going to be four? Is it longer term? But the fact of the matter is, I believe the last I saw, they're third or fourth overall in the league in points. They've given themselves a little bit of a cushion here. And again, we're all looking at what happens in April. So if Austin Matthews needs an extra week to get that knee in shape, well, I think the Leafs are all in with that, because it's imperative that this guy is healthy for game one, if we presume, against Tampa in April, and not so much for a midseason game, say, against the Buffalo Sabres in February. I mean, I think they have the proper perspective, and I think the fan base does too. The most important thing is that he heals up and gets the time he needs as this team embarks on or looks forward to going on a playoff run.
Looking at Matthews and the rest of their top six, I mean, in the playoffs, you're going to go as far as your top six takes you, and that means offensively and defensively. And watching a few Leafs games this year, I've been impressed with what looks like to me as more of a commitment from those top six guys to play defense. Is that a fair analysis of what's going on there?
Well, definitely. And to that point, I think that as of entering play last night, Austin Matthews led the National Hockey League in terms of forwards block shots with 63, I believe it was. So we don't really picture Austin Matthews as a shot blocker, but obviously the numbers show, And the other guy, Chris, that you have to talk about is Mitch Marner, because I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does in the defensive zone. There's been times on the power play back when the Leafs had defensive issues where he's taken a few shifts playing defense, and he also kills penalties. So I think that this team is all in. I think their big guns know that, they have the ability to score, but it's just as important to keep the puck out of the net. So, I mean, we'll see come playoff time, but obviously, as you pointed out, and the numbers show it, there has been a commitment from the members of their top six to be more, or at least be more effective defensively, and so far, so good. Again, everything that we talk about here is going to be prefaced by how do they do in April.
What have you seen from William Nylander this year? Because it seems like, he's been a good player for a long time, but it seems like he's taken his game to a different level.
Well, I think, a lot of times when people watch Nylander, he's got this, kind of what me worry look on his face, always smiling. And there's been people that have questioned, his dedication. Is he really, when push comes to shove, is he always engaged every single shift through every game? And I think we've seen more of that this year, where he definitely is more engaged. That's the biggest difference I've seen. And I got to give Sheldon Keefe, the Leafs coach, some credit for that, because there has been times this year where Sheldon hasn't been shy of benching Nylander if he thinks that he's not engaged. And to the player's credit, he's come back from that and played even harder. It's message received. So we've always known he's had the skill. It's on display. All you got to do is watch most of the games that he plays. But I think it's that commitment to being engaged all the time that's been the biggest difference. And you could make an argument. I would pick Mitch Marner, but I know there's a lot of people in the city that feel Nylander has been their best player thus far this season.
mentioning Sheldon Keefe. Assess his body of work and maybe how he's progressed as a head coach in the NHL.
Well, you know, I mean, people, it's mixed reviews in terms of the way the fans look at it. When I look at it, I mean, this guy is quickly climbing the coaching ladder when it comes to all-time Maple Leaf coaches in terms of victories, in terms of winning percentages. Last year, they had the highest point total in team history. So, you know, all that plays into it. And yet there's still a faction, again, and, you know, I don't mean to keep doing the wash, rinse, repeat, but the fact that they haven't won a playoff series is kind of looming over his head like it is the rest of the team. And there's been suggestions that once he gets to that point, he's been out-coached. I'm not, you know, in the playoffs. That, you know, it's easy to come to that conclusion, especially when you see the results or lack thereof. But, you know, you guys both know how silly it gets. So I'm going to, you know, a year ago, you know, last season, the Leafs started 4-4-1, and all of a sudden, there, you know, we weren't even out of October, and the drums were beating in Toronto. Oh, maybe Sheldon Keefe should be fired. And then they went on some ridiculous run, and like I said, they ended up with the most points they've ever had in a single season. So this year, they started 4-4-1. And then, you know what, you would have thought, well, let's at least get out of October, guys, before you call for his firing, because remember what happened last season? But, you know, as is the case in Toronto, they started calling for his firing again, and all of a sudden they're third or fourth in the league. So, you know, I mean, in terms of the public court, I think that, again, and we keep coming back to it, his body of work is going to be judged by how he does in the playoffs. But if you look at what he's accomplished in the regular season, and, you know, to me, how he's made some of these players better. Michael Bunte, for one. Timothy Liljegren, a former first-round pick that had kind of struggled and has really emerged the last, I'd say, probably 15 games last season and then into this season. So part of coaching is, to me, you look at players and say, how much have they improved under this guy? And that is one thing I can say is, I've seen a handful of players that are a lot better now than they were before they were coached by Sheldon Keefe.
Last one for you, Zai. It's always easier as a coach when you don't have to put a bag on your head in the hallway if Harold Ballard's in there offering you that to put it on your head. What did you make if you saw of the Harold Ballard documentary earlier this week that was released?
Well, it was very interesting. I mean, there was a lot of background in there about one of the most controversial people, you know, in hockey and especially in the history of Toronto sports. But I mean, that was, you know, it's a different era for those of us that remember him. Harold Ballard will always be somebody that, you know, kind of put a dark cloud over Toronto, sports. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, that Leafs team of the early to mid 70s that had Sittler and McDonald and Boris Salming and Mike Palmateer and guys of that, those were the guys we grew up with. And those were the guys that, you know, I mean, were they Stanley Cup worthy? I mean, I don't think they were, but they garnered a lot of excitement, and all of a sudden you have this owner who, you know, pretty much stripped the captaincy from Daryl Sittler, who is one of the most classiest people that I've ever met in sports or anywhere else. You mentioned that he said, okay, Roger Neilson, you can have your job back if you go out behind the bench at all places, the Montreal Forum, okay? And with a bag over your head. Thankfully, Roger said, no, I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, there's no justification for that. And, like I said, my mind will never be changed. He was one of the darkest clouds in Toronto sports history, and yeah, there might be some details behind that, but you know, that's the way I've always felt, and that's the way I'm always going to feel.
Zai, always great stuff. Appreciate the time. Enjoy this one tonight. Should be a good one. Always entertaining whenever the Leafs and Sens hook up.
Listen, guys, thanks for having me on, and all the best to all my friends in Ottawa, one of my favorite cities. So enjoy the game tonight.
I'll owe you a beer the next time you come through town.
Just one?
Okay.
Six. Take care, guys.
Cheers, Zeis. Mike Zeisberger joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. All right, there's the Leafs' point of view.
Looking forward to it tonight. It's going to be some more good hockey viewing. Continue on the continue on what I saw last night, and we'll get into this later too. Do you not just have the sense that the temperature's just gone up around the league? We've seen the coaches losing their minds with the refs. They're feeling it. Last night, I think there were 9 games, 7 fights last night. Anyway, we'll get into that when we come back.
Well, I got the coaching odds, but it heats up on some coaches as well.
There you go.
Now that Bruce Boudreau is gone.
Who's next?
Vanessa Sanchez will join us at 3:25. Talk some college football and some other things as well, some golf, some NFL. As we continue on this Sens game day, taking on the Leafs tonight, all right here on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
I thoroughly enjoy this music, but it definitely is the most self-serving music theme that we've had here in a long, long time by Matt Conosvita.
Maybe since my worst music theme, my most vilified music theme of all time, songs my band used to play.
Yeah, that was a
in high school.
Oh, wow. Theme.
Yeah, there you go.
Inspired by Dave Gosher, who was a guest on our show that week, getting on stage in Henderson and playing some music with the house band there. But yeah, I will not be going to the Mardi Gras because it's a little too soon, but I think there might be a crew or two doing some parades while we're there. So I might go to a Mardi Gras parade like 5-6 weeks before Mardi Gras.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being self-indulgent when you're the guy running the radio show.
And the music's good.
And the music's good.
No, I'm good with it. It is self-serving, though.
Yeah,
I just had to
fully
point
admitted.
That out.
I told you yesterday. Going to have a self-serving music theme tomorrow. But we might have some David Wilcox today. There's no Lee on the show, so Wilcox is allowed, and we might be sitting on a riverboat having a party.
Life for me.
Me and my Cajun queen.
Yeah. That's actually good news.
Great news.
We should almost
like
call
one.
Lee and get him on the show and play that when he's on.
And then don't have him on. Just have him sit on hold and listen to it and say, sorry, Lee, we're good.
All right, we'll take our top hour break, try and get back on schedule. No, I haven't been on schedule very often this week, so.
And he looks at me. Did you see that?
No, I saw it.
He did. He gave me the side eye.
I saw it.
He wasn't blaming you.
He gave me the side eye.
No respect.
I haven't been on schedule all week.
No respect. No respect. Man. A lack of respect.
Soft.
Next hour, I'll have what you need to know. I'll have a look at the latest coaches' odds in the NHL. Vanessa Sanchez is going to join us as well at 3:25. 4 o'clock hour, a lot of Sens talk. We got to get our picks in this week. 2 big conference championships, so we'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour as well. As we've got a game day edition of The Drive. Sens and Leafs tonight. Pre-game show at 5. Puck drop shortly after 7. All right here on TSN 1200.